This is the Well-Being Report on WDIY, discussing the vital conditions for health and well-being in the Lehigh Valley. Featuring WDIY's Margaret McConnell and Dr. Samantha Schock, Executive Director at the Leonard Parker Poole Institute for Health. Now, here's Margaret and Samantha.
Good evening and welcome to the Well-Being Report. This program is generously supported and co-hosted by our friends at the Leonard Parker Poole Institute for Health. I'm your co-host, Margaret McConnell, the Executive Director at WDIY, and I'm here, of course, with my co-host, Dr. Samantha Schock from Leonard Parker Poole. Welcome, Samantha.
Good evening. Good to be with you.
Last month, we talked about the Kellen Foundation as the focus, talking about food access. And of course, food access is one of the vital conditions of health, which is our theme for the program here. Anything you want to recap on that?
So our focus is on the vital conditions, which are the characteristics of neighborhoods that support health over time and enable more people to thrive. We started the last 2 months focusing on basic needs for health and safety, looking at food access and how we create opportunities for more reliable and sustainable healthy foods to be available in neighborhoods that we're serving. And today we're going to move on to our second vital conditions, which is access to reliable transportation.
Right. Great. And our guest tonight is Owen O'Neill, who's the executive director at Lehigh and Northampton Transportation Authority, or more commonly known as LANTA. Thank you, Owen, for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
And a little more about Owen's background. Owen has been in the public transportation field for 25 years and has worked with transit agencies across the country, either as staff or as a consultant. Since joining LANTA, he has led the efforts to modernize technology used by LANTA, instituted an ongoing service performance monitoring system to ensure continuous improvement, and worked with the local MPO on efforts to incorporate transit-supportive land use practices into local land development.
Well, first, I want, Margaret, you're born and raised in Lehigh Valley, so I'd love to start hearing about
your experience. I wasn't born here.
Okay, you've lived
in
the Lehigh Valley.
But I've lived here since I was two, so I think
you can. What has your experience been with transportation living here? How much have you used public transportation? How much do you walk? Do you have a car? What has that looked
like? Well, in the neighborhood I grew up in the south side of Allentown, I walked everywhere, miles and miles, mostly because, you know, money as a kid, you know, as a teenager. I walked to South Mountain Middle School sometimes for school. So I took the bus probably the first time to go to Dariff High School. So you got your bus card and you took it back and forth, and that's where it ended. I don't think I've been on a LANTA bus since. And let me tell you, when I go traveling and I travel to Europe, I get on every mode of public transportation there is. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a blockage in the brain in this community about public transportation.
Yeah.
But certainly I've used it, yeah.
Yes.
And I always say, it's funny, I always say when Americans, because they know, people who know I'm in public transportation, anyone who goes to Europe comes back and says, oh my God, it was so great. I never had used my car. And I always say, we could have that here too.
Absolutely. We don't think about it that way.
Right.
Yeah.
Our users
have to support the system, right?
Yeah. So just to give a little bit of an overview of what we mean when we say reliable transportation, we're looking at how do we have access to safe transportation, first of all, but also things that help us meet our daily needs, right? Mm-hmm. How do we get access to food, to school, to home, to work every day, the things that we need to be able to live our daily lives? And then also the other component here is how does it impact the environment and how do we have efficiencies in the types of transportation that we're using and that impact over time? So that's a technical definition. Mm-hmm. But when you think about reliable transportation, what do you think of most and how would you define that?
I would say a lot of the things you mentioned, but I would add to something, one that you can count on, that mm-hmm. you know it's going to be able to get you from point A to point B. And I think in a predictable amount of time mm-hmm. and for a predictable cost. And I think when people who rely on public transportation for all or some of their trips, it does really well with that predictable cost because they know what the fare is we keep it pretty stable for long periods of time. But I think the things that come into play for people who rely on public transportation is, One, every morning you get up and you want to go to get on the bus, you are relying on someone else
right.
to make sure that that bus got out of the garage and is operating the route that you use. And even though we now have technology where people can track their bus, make sure it's coming and things like that, there's still that that thing in the back of your head of saying, like, is my bus coming today?
Right.
And then I think, too, for that predictable amount of time, a lot of people, when they use the bus, especially if they're going to work, or sometimes they're using two, sometimes even three buses.
Mm-hmm.
So you are making sure that not only is the bus I get on first, but the bus I'm connecting to, and then the bus I might be connecting to after that, are they all running on time, and are they running in a way that, that will allow me to make those connections? So
mm-hmm.
so there's a lot of additional kind of stress of the of things being out of your control.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm just thinking how it is in a strange country or even New York City when you were talking about making all those connections. I don't even think about it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I just know it's going to be there. And maybe that's just because the system has been there so long and it is a means of transport for many, many people, the majority of people in those countries. That so it's interesting to hear you say how people are worried about, is that bus going to be there? Is it going to mm-hmm. be there? Is it going to be there?
Right.
You know,
right.
and they're you can see them looking out on the street and they're poking their heads out mm-hmm. and keep mm-hmm. turning their heads.
Right, right.
As visitors, though, we if it's 20 minutes late, it's 20 minutes late, right? It doesn't
right, right.
impact
That's
us
true.
In the same way when that is your means of getting to a job. I mean, I think the thing that we hear most commonly is that, you know, people struggle to get somewhere on time or don't make it to their job on time or struggle to get home or it doesn't run at the right times for them to get places, right?
right?
So thinking about it from to make your daily life work, it maybe feels or looks a little bit different than...
Yeah.
yeah.
And I think the biggest thing, especially in an area like we have Alley or the Atlanta system is still, even though the region has kind of outgrown it, we still are pretty much a primarily what I would call like a small city system where the buses run generally every hour.
Mm.
And so that causes that if you're in New York or something where or in Philly where they have bus routes that run every 5 minutes, every six
right.
minutes, you might not even know that a trip was missed because that bus is coming, the next bus is coming,
mm-hmm.
and you don't know if that's the one running late or one running early.
Right.
Whereas here where the bus is running every hour, if that bus doesn't show up, you're waiting, or you miss it by a minute, you know, mm-hmm. you forgot something, you ran back to get it, you miss it. Now you're waiting another hour for, mm-hmm. for that next bus. So it's much harder to, like when we talk about the reliability or the reliability amount of time or the predictability of the amount of time it takes you, all that kind of has to get factored into it.
Mm-hmm.
And so does the opportunity to increase how many buses are coming along every 20 minutes or so, is that only based on how many users you actually have?
Based on the users, yeah, in terms of which routes we would put more buses on. But the biggest driver of that is our funding.
Okay.
And so how much resources we have available to put additional service on the street and make those frequencies, that's what we call frequency of services at every hour, is every half hour. That's something that the amount of funding we get, that really kind of drives whether or not we can do that.
So user usage, buying tickets, isn't the funding that's actually helping this whole thing?
It's part of the it's part of the puzzle, right?
Okay.
And obviously the more people use it, it's kind of a catch-22 because it never really pays for itself, because if you have enough people riding and paying their fares, then the bus is actually full or more than full, so you have to add another bus. So you're kind
mm-hmm.
of always playing catch-up financially. But the fares are a piece of it and a very important piece of it. But then there's the additional funding that we get.
It needs to be subsidized
right.
by federal or state dollars?
Correct.
Okay.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
And in our case, it's actually a mix of federal, state, and local. The counties put money into to our system, and then a mix of fares. If you look at our buses, a lot of them have advertising on the sides
mm-hmm.
of them.
Yep.
Those are just revenue generation type mm-hmm. things that
yep.
we try to do to generate more revenue.
Yeah. I think about having my own car and commuting to work. We forget, you know, I forget the role of public transportation.
Mm-hmm.
Can you touch on how transportation affects health, economic stability, and social well-being?
Sure. Well, I think the people who use public transportation use it for all aspects of their life. They use it for all the trip purposes that they need to do. But the primary, the most common thing that people use it for is to get back and forth to work. We did our most recent rider survey. We asked people to identify all the trip purposes that they use transit for, and the most common one was work. 75% of our riders say they use it to get back and forth to work. And that is really a big piece of what we do and a big benefit to having the transit system in the region to allow people to access those opportunities. We hear a lot about how much the Lehigh Valley is growing and how much the economy in the Lehigh Valley is growing and adding a lot of jobs and trying to make sure that people have the access to those opportunities. And then even when they do have the access to those opportunities, it benefits the region the most if people who can access those jobs and stay in those jobs, that job is a path to financial stability for them. Because financial stability is such a big piece of mental health and physical health. And one of the things that transit allows you to do when you look at if you have to own a car or you have to own multiple cars in your household, when you are looking at a household that is kind of just barely getting by, a car is a depreciating asset. Like they say, the most valuable your car ever is when it's sitting on the at the dealership. And most people finance their cars, and most people have never gained equity in their car, and most commonly have negative equity in their car. So it really impedes people's ability to build wealth and to build financial stability, which is really the biggest benefit to having that job. So being able to save those expenses by being able to use transit to get back and forth to work can really help not only allow people that opportunity to work, but then make that work have that tangible benefit. So that's one of the biggest pieces of it. And then people use the bus to get to the grocery store. They use the bus to get to their medical appointments. A very significant percent of our riders use it to get to school. Allentown students use our buses to get back and forth to middle schools and high schools. We have a lot of people use them to get to the community colleges. So a lot of those ways to kind of advance economically are ways that people are using the transit system to do.
Absolutely. What I love about that is the vital conditions are really about, these things aren't just niceties, they're not just conveniences, they actually enable your life to occur, right, and to happen, and that your success over time is due to the reliability of these things being available on a day-to-day basis. So that really does have that connection to health and can either positively or negatively impact your stress levels, your ability to achieve, your ability to get the resources that you need in your life over a sustained period of time.
Mm-hmm.
Can you give us, Owen, an overview of LANTA's services throughout Lehigh and Northampton counties? Are there any key initiatives happening right now that you'd like to share?
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, in terms of the services that we offer, we have a couple of different divisions that we call them. And our biggest thing is what we call our LANTA Bus Division. That is the fixed route, traditional bus routes that are on a fixed schedule, a fixed alignment. Those are the big buses that you see. We cover a significant amount of Lehigh and Northampton counties, a big piece of the growth that we've been doing over the last couple of decades has been more services to the industrial park areas like Browningsville, Forks Township, Palmer Township, really trying to, as those areas have grown and added a lot of employment, but also trying to build up a core set of routes in the urban core that are more frequent. Like we talked about before, that buses every hour, but we're trying to build up kind of a core set of routes that are more frequent than that. Mm-hmm. So that's the bus side. Then we have what we call our LANTA Van Division, which is a paratransit. And those are the door-to-door, those are the vans, the smaller vans. If you ever pull into one of the hospitals, you probably see at least one of our vans waiting for someone or dropping someone off. And those are reservation-based. People have to have a reservation, and they're also eligibility-based services. They're services for either seniors or persons with disabilities, people who can't use the bus, people on medical assistance for certain types of medical appointments. They can use the van. So that is the other piece of that. Like I said, those are reservation based, and so they're just based on the different reservations we have for the day. We also, a lot of people don't know, we actually run the transit system in Carbon County for them.
I was going to ask about Carbon County.
Right, yeah. And that is, I mean, Carbon County, that's primarily a paratransit system, like the LANTA van. But we do have a couple of fixed routes up there, fixed bus routes. And one of the things we've been working on a lot up there is working with the county on the tourism market. and we ran some shuttles during the fall foliage season to cut down on to allow people to park at satellite parking lots and then use the shuttles to go into Jim Thorpe and things. So that's been working really well. Yeah. And then in terms of just a couple of primary initiatives, one is what we call our enhanced bus service. That is like a bus rapid transit type service, and bus rapid transit is kind of trying to use buses to mimic a light rail system where it's doing different things to kind of speed up the trip and just hit major stuff. Not stopping at every single bus stop along the way, but just at major
stops.
Right. Yeah. So it's more what we call like limited stop, where it's not. And we right now we have two of those routes in place. We have our green route and our blue route. And the green route starts in Whitehall, goes through Allentown, and ends in South Bethlehem. And then the blue route actually starts in Trexler Town, goes through Allentown and Bethlehem, and then ends up in East End. And both of those routes now operate every half hour. All day long, and then there's a shared segment between Allentown and South Bethlehem, so that results in a bus every 15 minutes on those two routes. So, and then there's kind of physical aspects to that. We've done the service part of it, but the physical aspects are at the stops that it does stop at. Try to create more of like a station feel, a bigger shelter, signage, ticket vending machines if there's space, and things like traffic signal prioritization, where if you're at certain key intersections, you can have a traffic signal see that a bus is coming and then hold the green light like a few seconds longer, 5-6 seconds longer, just to improve the probability that bus is going to get through the green light.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And it can be, you can make it even really smart by saying it only does it if the bus is running late. So if the bus is on time or running early, it doesn't do it.
Wow, really?
Yeah. So those are some of the things that we are.
Is that
are,
like what police use to get through a traffic light?
Well, actually, what the police and ambulance uses is called traffic signal preemption.
Okay.
Or it's just prioritization, but preemption means it makes everything red for them. Yeah. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's neat.
Yeah. And then the other initiative, we're rolling out a new fare structure, fare collection technology on the buses that we're calling our Valley Ride system. We've had a mobile ticketing app for a long time, but we're rolling out a new one. And the system is also going to have tap cards, loadable tap cards that you can put and you'll be able to go into like various retail stores. And actually, if you're a cash user, you can walk up to a cash register and they can take your cash and load money onto the card. One of the big benefits of that is it will, for the first time, introduce what's called fare capping, where it's like right now we have, if you get on the bus for a single ride, it's $2. Our day pass is $4, and then our 31-day pass is $60. With either the phone or if you're the tap card, it will track how much you're spending. So once you spend $4 in a day, it automatically becomes a day pass, and then you're just riding for the rest of the day. Mm-hmm. And if you spend $60 within 31 days, it automatically becomes a 31-day pass. So it cuts down on one of the things that is kind of a barrier for people to be able to take advantage of those cost efficiencies is having the $4 or having the $60 up front. Mm-hmm. And this allows you to not have to do that and still be able to, if you're a regular rider, you'll still be able to take advantage of those cost savings.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. That's great.
Yeah. You can earn it along the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you have to cover a lot of area with both Lehigh and Northampton County. Okay. We talk a lot about neighborhoods and what's in the places where we are spending most of our time. How do you think about smaller geographies and servicing that whole footprint and thinking about prioritization of needs? Mm-hmm. What does that look like for you?
Right. Well, I think what we look at is kind of the primary trips that people make. And so in trying to look at as many ways as we can to allow people to make those trips in what we call a 1C ride, where they don't have to transfer. And those are trips to work, trips to some type of a medical office, some type of grocery store, and some type of discount retail shopping. Like one of the things that, you know, whether you're going to Walmart or Target or whatever, but really trying to connect different neighborhoods, especially kind of the dense or lower income neighborhoods, to make sure that they have those types of connections and without having to make too many transfers, but that they can make those kind of vital trips throughout their day.
Yeah. Can you highlight some partnerships or ways that you are trying to reach specific populations within the Lehigh Valley? Valley.
Yeah. We've really been building up a lot of our partnerships over the last few years. And one of the things we do is we work with certain employers where if they are in a particular location where we either don't have bus service right now or we don't have it when they have shift times, mm-hmm. We have been entering partnerships with them where we say, like, it's going to cost us X amount of dollars to add a trip at that time. And then we track how much revenue we get from fares, from people getting on the bus. And then those employers agree to cover our costs so that mm-hmm. we can add that trip without it affecting our costs. And we've done that with things like the new FedEx place up at the airport or when Amazon came in Browningsville, we were able to do that type of arrangement so that it allows people to access the different shifts mm-hmm. at those employers. One of the biggest things, we're in our third year of it now, is our partnership with Allentown School District, where we used to sell discounted day passes for the students, but now ASD provides funding to us where all of their students can ride all our buses for free.
Wow.
And we don't limit it to school times or school days. It's wow. All throughout the week. And
okay.
So that has been very, very successful. We're up to about roughly about 3,000 rides a day now of ASD students going back and forth to school. So that's been a really successful partnership. And on the ASD side, they view it as a strategy to help with attendance because
mm-hmm.
Transportation, reliable transportation, like we talked about, is one of the biggest barriers to attendance. So that's been a really mutual beneficial partnership. We have partnerships with some of the colleges, Lehigh, Muhlenberg, Lafayette, Cedar Crest, where their students and their staff can use Atlanta buses for free. We also have a partnership with Penn State Lehigh Valley,
mm-hmm.
and then the two community colleges buy discounted passes from us to sell to their students. So just to kind of open up some of those opportunities. And then we've been really trying to work with just to kind of introduce new markets and people who might not normally take transit. This past year, we had a great partnership with City of Bethlehem and Bethlehem Parking Authority to really cross-promote our EBS route in Bethlehem as a way to get around Music Fest.
Mm.
And so kind of to promote what they call like park one, so either park on the north side or park right. on the south side, and then use our buses, which are every 15 minutes between those two points, to get around Music Fest, and that was very successful too. We got a lot of people using it, probably people using it for the first time and either first yeah. time ever or first time
right.
in a long time. So it just kind of increases that exposure of different people who might be using the bus.
Absolutely, mm-hmm. Sounds like a lot of creativity and a lot of innovations in how you're working to make that a part of people's everyday lives
right,
now.
Right,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's been great that we've had people who come to us, and that's one of the things we've been trying to do for the past decade or so, is to say, instead of trying to run your own van or run your own service, like
right.
we have buses on the street already. Let's
right.
let's utilize those in a mutual way.
Yeah, and leveraging that infrastructure that you've already built out.
Right, right.
To make sure it's meeting everyone's needs.
Mm-hmm,
that's
right.
great.
Awesome. Do you have any stories that come to mind on how reliable transportation has positively impacted community members? Does anybody come up and thank
I don't know if they thank me, but we do hear a lot where people will say, like, I could not get to my job without this. I could not get to school without this. And the stories that I always kind of think of is I try to take the bus at least once a week, if not a couple times a week, into work, just to like observe and listen to the riders talking to each other and some of the stories. And I think there was one morning where I had gotten off a bus and was transferring to another bus, and there was a woman that did the same thing. She got off the same bus as me and was waiting to connect. And we started talking, and she said she was taking that second bus into the transit center to transfer to a third bus to get to her job. And I said, wow, that's a lot. You know, that's a long trip. And she said, well, you know, I really like the company, and I like the people, and I like the job. And you kind of see that a lot. And it amazes me kind of the determination that people have. And I think if you're on one of our buses in the morning in Allentown and you see all these kids, these 13, 14, 15-year-old kids getting themselves to the bus, getting
yeah.
on the bus, some of them have to transfer to get to their
right.
and they've figured it out and they do it. And we have about 15 to 16,000 people a day, riders on the Lanza system, and every single one of them is a different story, mm-hmm. and a story of determination on how they get themselves to where they have to go. And that's kind of what always just amazes me, that know, people will utilize the service, and if it wasn't there, they wouldn't be able to do those things.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. My neighbor across the street now where I live, she's passed now, but when she first moved in, I would notice that she would take the bus, and the mm-hmm. bus stop is at the end of our street. Mm-hmm. And I was always like, where is she going? She shouldn't be walking around. And then one day I saw her get on the bus. Mm. And, you know, eventually we came to know, you know, she would take that bus. She had a job at Weiss or something, and mm-hmm. it was just a part-time job, and that's how she got there. And her son lived with her, but he had a full-time job, and she didn't own a car. Mm. And then she would, you know, use it to go to the senior center and mm-hmm. stuff like that. And it's great that it is an avenue for everybody, no matter mm-hmm. where they're living.
Right.
Yep.
Which brings me to, how do you plan how much time it's going to extend or shorten your commute if you're using it to get to work?
How do you plan? Well, I think you have to look at the schedule.
Right.
You have to, and we do have, now we have like trip planners and things like that. You can put your home address and the address of where you're going to, and either on our app, but also, and a lot of people don't know this, but on Google Transit.
Oh yeah,
there's like a bus button.
Yeah, there's a little transit icon.
Yeah.
And all of our information is on there, and it's very accurate. It'll tell you right from your door, like walk to this place, wait here, and then go to this stop, get off at this stop, transfer to this bus, and so it does, and gives you the amount of time it takes and things like
wow,
that.
Wow, I have homework. Yeah, so with that bus stop right down the street, and our this 22 mess.
More, yeah. Uh-huh. Seriously, sitting in traffic on my way to record, right? I was thinking I should be on public transportation right now,
right,
rather than sitting here, mm-hmm. for sure. And when we talk a lot about walkable neighborhoods, mm-hmm. bikeable neighborhoods, but when you add the public transportation system into that, it just expands the perimeter from which you can get about easily. So right. It really, you know, can help to open up a lot more opportunities. Mm-hmm.
Right. So we have 2 minutes left. I don't know how this went by so fast.
I know.
Can you tell listeners how they can contribute to making public transportation better in their communities? And if the answer is just start taking the bus.
right. And I'll add, how would you like people to partner with Lanza? Right. So what are you looking for in good partners as you're trying to provide services in communities?
Right. I think in terms of partners, I think one of the things for people who are advocates, who are potential advocates for transit, to understand, a lot of times we'll hear like, Lanza service is so bad, it only comes every hour. To understand that that's not just a decision that we made to say like we're only going to run the buses every hour. Like we would like to run them more often, mm-hmm. if we had the resources and we had the demand that people were using it. Mm-hmm. So I would say kind of just understanding like how those decisions are made and that it's not just an arbitrary decision on our part that we would like to have more service in the community. It's just the amount of resources that we have. Mm-hmm. And then related to that, I would just say the best thing you can do is to make it known to your elected officials, local, state, and federal elected officials, that transit is important. Transit is important to our community. It's important to me. It's important to like mm-hmm. you said, my neighbor. It's important to my employees. And so since it's important to my employees, it's important to my business, right. So that they hear that and know that it's a priority and it's something that is important in our and especially true in a region like Lehigh Valley that was kind of a small region, mm-hmm. and now we're really growing, that it's something that's more and more important as we continue to grow.
Yeah, right. And to think about how we have to change that infrastructure to grow with us, right? Mm-hmm. That these things don't just come along naturally, that we have to really invest in them and build that out as our population here grows, mm-hmm. too. Right.
Well, thank you both, Samantha, of course, my co-host, and Owen O'Neill from Lanza for being here tonight. Please listen to our program again on the WDIY app or your favorite podcast platform. You've been listening to the Wellbeing Report. Have a great evening.
This has been the Wellbeing Report on WDIY. Thank you for listening. This episode and others are archived and available online at lppih.org and on WDIY.org, and also can be accessed on your favorite podcast streaming platform.